Hi, my name is Amberly, and I have the privilege of serving as one of our executive pastors here at Transformation Church. We just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has a word for you, so let's jump into this amazing message.
I have a word today that I believe is going to change the trajectory of our church. And I say that all the time, but I believe it all the time. I don't be up here just saying stuff to like help people like feel better about themselves. I want us to actually live something. There are tons of churches that are going to tell you what you want to hear today. And today I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you what God told me to tell you and what he already told me. There is nothing that I can preach to you that the Holy Spirit has not already worked in me. It is a value violation. For me to come up here and act like I got something together, that the Holy Spirit has not actually done a work in me. I'm not saying I'm gonna stand up here and be perfect at anything, but I am saying that I will have started the process of actually walking this thing out. And today, the Holy Spirit literally shut my mouth for over 7 years on the topic I'm about to preach a whole message about. 7 years, he said, shut up. You have no authority to talk about that because I'm looking at your life. Now, I know every pastor acts like they are the grand dada of every subject. And they act like they have a PhD in every subject. No. Knowing information and living that thing out are two completely different things. And today I want to bring us into this message with a little illustration that I thought about. Does anybody remember or have little babies where they had the shapes that they had to get something to fit into? And so, you know, when I was a child, this game was actually very exciting for me because everything has been a competition since I was 6 months old. And so when I saw this, I would always try to figure out how I could do it the fastest. Now that I have children, it's not about fast, it's just about getting it in there. And when your children are still developing their cognitive skills to be able to figure out what to do, it's frustrating sometimes as a parent to sit and watch them try to put the triangle in the star. No, baby. It's the other one. And many times, if you've ever been a parent, depending on where your kids are on the learning level, it takes a while for them. He said, you ain't never lied. It takes a while sometimes for them to figure it out. But once they get it, it's a beautiful picture. Well, I feel like sometimes in our life with Jesus, we have something that we think is supposed to go in here, but everywhere that we try to put it, It doesn't fit. And it doesn't matter how much it's a circle and it's the same color. And for some reason, it doesn't fit. Okay, that makes sense to us. And what most of us would do if we bought this toy from Target, y'all know that's the bougie version of Target. If we bought this from Target, what we would simply do is put this right back in here, get our receipt, and take it right back to that little counter. Because it didn't. We would tell them, I'm so sorry, something must be defective with this. It does not fit. In the same way, where's my man Zion? Come here, buddy. I need you to come up here. In the same way, Zion, he's one of my best friends in prayer. He. Will y'all give it up for my man Zion? He's been here every night. Come here, buddy. He's been joining me in prayer, and I decided I was going to upgrade his clothing today. And so I brought some clothing from my closet that I wanted Zion to, come on, put this on, Big Daddy. He said, I'm ready for the miracle. Now, this jacket is expensive. This jacket was made by a craftsman. But if you were to see Zion walking around in this, you would say it doesn't fit. Now, it's expensive. It looks fresh. Come on, baby, put on these Gucci shoes, baby. Yeah. Get you some Gucci's. Come here. Come on. Oh, no. You're falling because you're in something that doesn't. Okay, all right. Now, come on, get that foot in there. What'd you say?
I can't fit it.
You can't fit it. I mean, it feels like it should fit you, but it doesn't fit. And it doesn't matter how much I try, this will become uncomfortable because it doesn't fit. Do some jumping jacks, Big Daddy. Come on, yeah. Can you do a push-up? You know how to do a push-up? Oh. There it is. Ooh, he's creasing my shoes. Come here. He is creasing my shoes. Stand right, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we believe you for a miracle. No matter what happens, this will eventually become uncomfortable because it doesn't. Come here, let me just put you down here. Get all my stuff from him, okay? Here you go, take him, God bless you. What if God desires to use someone for 25 years, but he looks at the purpose and the person and their body doesn't fit? What if our body doesn't fit our purpose? Talking about starting sharp and staying sharp. We're talking about praying for miracles. We're talking about God changing things around in our life. And what if we are not fit to finish? Matter of fact, that's the title of my message today. Fit to finish. Now, I need everybody to take a deep breath. Say Yahweh again. Because today I'm coming to you pastorally, lovingly, and I'm asking you not to pray for anything you won't prepare for. Some of us are at the end of this 21 days of prayer and fasting, and you're like, oh man, it's been so good. Like, I don't have headaches, and I just feel better, and I'm waking up. Part of it is spiritual, but the other part of it is just you haven't been eating trash. And your body for 21 days has been regulating to not have as much sugar. It's been, I've already amen myself, so I don't need nobody's amens today. If it ain't real, because I came on assignment to get your life back. You missed it. Many of our prayers are praying for miracles that could be prevented if we actually took our lives seriously. My question to you is, will you be fit to finish? I can't answer the question for you. I don't eat with you. I don't stay with you. And this is gonna bother some people because you think that it's a vanity message. This is not a vanity message. This is about your actual value. Okay, let's just keep going. Are you fit to finish what God has called you to do? Let me give you the personal revelation that happened for me. 7 years ago, the Holy Spirit told me in a time of prayer, he said, Michael, I only can bless the ministry to the level your body can take it. And my response to my heavenly Father was, that's not fair. That's not why. I thought it was to the level that my spirit man could take it. Thought it was to the level that my marriage could take it. He said, yeah, all of those are true, but I'm not gonna bless the ministry past what your body can do. And I ignored the word of God, your pastor, for 4 years. Got up here, yelling crazy faith, sweating in my back rolls. Okay, I'm gonna be humble, open, and transparent today. I'm about to expose myself to hope that one person makes a delineation between what you've been living and what God desires for you to live. Okay? He said, I only can bless you to the level that your body can take it. And I'm not saying that this revelation needs to be your revelation, but could I submit to you? Could this be true for you too? Is God actually looking at what you do with the temple and using that as a part of him factoring in, can they do what I've called them to do? And I challenge every person under the sound of my voice, because I feel everybody's booty tight right now. Everybody take a deep breath in. Let it out. Okay. I challenge you not to deflect or defend for 45 minutes. Because some of y'all are, you don't know my story. You don't know what thyroid issue I got. You don't know what I, okay, stop. Hold on, wait. My family big boned, okay? Okay, I know. But I challenge you not to deflect or defend, because this message is about your destiny. This is not about anybody else today. And I hear some of y'all saying, I know tons of people who are fat and overweight and successful. And I want to agree with you. Yes, tons of people. My question is not, are there people doing it? My question is, what version of them are we getting? And my second question is, if they were healthy, how many more years could they do what God has asked them to do? Okay. So I want you to write this down. This is a point, okay? Because I want you to understand, we're talking about being healthy and holy. Not just holy. I said healthy and holy. We talk about the spirit man being purified. Wash my mind, Lord. And never talk about cleaning our cupboard. Guys, I'm coming to humbly submit to you that we may be cutting off our influence, our purpose, and God's desire and design for us because of how we take care of our body. This is not fat or skinny. Crackheads are skinny. Okay, I can't be real. Y'all got offended by that. Unhealthy, snorting, shooting up. Ask them to take off their shirt. I have seen people who are abusing drugs. Because some of y'all think fat, skin. No. Healthy. This is not about superficial desire. This is about supernatural discipline. This message is not about how you look and getting six packs and making sure you got an hour. I don't care nothing about that. I care, is diabetes gonna take you out like it took out your mother and her mother? I care about, is hypertension going to take you out like it took out your uncle? It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank when your heart stops. It does not matter how many homes you have if you have to live in a nursing home. And just so we can even up the playing field for everybody that's still watching, I'm about to expose myself so that you can know I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. I'm gonna show you me at my heaviest. Put it on the screen. 275 pounds. He took his shirt off in church? No. I want to show you what this really looked like. I want to show you the man who was yelling crazy faith and believing for new buildings and talking about relationship goals. Number one New York Times bestseller, and insecure and overweight and emotionally eating and drowning my sorrows in cookies and cream, Blue Bell ice cream with Dr. Pepper and gummy bears on the side with whipped cream and vanilla Oreos too. What in the world was I doing every Sunday night? Trying to manage stress. Trying to figure out why did that family leave and go up the street and all that. Never mind. I know pastors don't want you to see this, but the way I overcome is by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did. And the words of my own test. This is my testimony. Wearing 4X shirts. My children could sleep in my clothes without blankets. Don't laugh that hard, Mom. Y'all, it'd be your own people. It be your own people. Literally, my children could put on my shirts or a jacket, not need a blanket, just be on the couch, knocked out. I couldn't walk how I wanted to. I couldn't play with them how I wanted to. But I was a man of God. I was being used every Sunday. Nobody ever came up to me and said, Pastor, that message was great, but it looks like you're unhealthy in your life. Not one mentor, not one spiritual covering. It was like almost that people felt that they could not say anything while they saw me killing myself. If I put a knife to my wrist or a gun to my head, I would have tons of people say, no, don't do that. But when I put a fork in my hand and a knife in my hand, nobody said. And matter of fact, they took me to do it. They paid for it. Get whatever you want. Get two of them. Take something to go. What? Okay. And it's so crazy that I had so many hurdles to my health, not just physical. I'm talking about entire. Like, if you look at yourself being a whole person, part of my testimony is I had to jump the hurdle of pornography. I beat that hurdle. I had to jump the hurdle of lying. I jumped that hurdle. I had to jump the hurdle of being a manipulator and all the things that I talk about. But the one hurdle that I wouldn't even talk about was the hurdle of my actual physical health and nutrition. And some of y'all are getting caught up. You're just like, Pastor Mike, I just don't understand. I just don't think that you should be in here talking about my body like that, because this is my body. It's the body that God gave me, and I'm just going to be body, adi, adi, and I'm going to do what God has told me to do no matter what body I got. And all I'm saying is I don't want you to be, this is not an Instagram type of comparison thing. I want you to be fit. Everybody say the word fit. Let me give you the definition. A suitable quality, standard or type, to meet a required purpose. I just want you to be able to meet the required purpose God places on your life. So if he tells you to go to a remote village in Africa to minister to kids, can your body take it? Some of y'all, God will call you there and you will be cussing the whole way. Not because of any other reason except your heart, your desire is there. Your knees aren't. Oh my God. Okay. You won't even go swimming with your kids because you don't like the way you look in a bathing suit. So you're robbing your kids of an opportunity to connect with you because you don't like or will work on. Let me stay to my notes. What I'm saying to you is being fit is not about a size, it's about a standard. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? I don't care what size you are, zero. Anorexia is unhealthy too. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's so many people trying to. You think just drinking water and Red Bulls, okay, is healthy? We don't want the aesthetic. We want to actually be, everybody say the word to me, fit. So I said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to give me some real revelation on this, because I feel like either we're going to gain a lot of people in the church getting healthy after this message, or everybody going to flip me off and go eat a burger. So I need some revelation. And I'm telling you, on Tuesday night at 3:50 in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up with 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And this is where Saul was the king, but he disobeyed God, and Samuel had to find another. And God told him to go to Jesse's house, and he was going to be able to pick the next king of Israel. And he tells Samuel, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. You know this next part. But the Lord looks at the heart. And I said, God, that's powerful. Oh, my God, you look at the heart. Oh, you look at the inside. Oh, you look at the motive. Oh, you look at the character. Oh, you look at the integrity. And all my life in church, that's all I've heard, is that God does not look at the outside. Thank you, Jesus. He knows our heart. Even when people mess up, I've even said it. It was like, man, I messed up, but God knows my heart. He know I love him. I don't obey him, but I love him. He know my heart. And I said, Holy Spirit, where's the revelation? He said, read it again. He said, people look at the outward appearance, but when God goes to choose somebody for purpose, he looks at the heart. I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me. He said, read it again. And no, I wasn't just talking about looking at it spiritually. I look at it physically too. And I said, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Are you telling me that when God is calling people for purpose, he looks at their central thinking system, which is the heart of man, but he also considers, can your actual cardiovascular heart take the mission he's asking you to go to? And I said, Holy Spirit, do not be this cold. He said, I was being figurative, spiritual, and literal. Because no good father would send their kid to die without considering their actual abilities. Now think about it. What is David about to go do? David, after he becomes anointed as the king of Israel, the next time we see a big story about David, he's killing the giant that nobody in the whole army wanted to face. So he was looking at the man's integrity, but he was also looking at his. My question to you is, can your heart handle it? Because health is all about your heart. So then I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, okay. Some people are going to say, oh, he took that out of. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to make sure that I give people practical handles to be able to look at this. And look, I cannot make this stuff up. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, look up the number one cause of death in America. I just did a small Google search. And the number one cause of death in America, in all ages, all genders, all races, is heart disease. I said, what? He said, the enemy has taken out more people with lack of discipline with their fork and their health than anything else. He said, there are many things I want to get done on this earth that I can't because I haven't found anybody with the heart. And can I talk to my brown and black people real quick? I got to talk to y'all because nobody says this. Because we've been ham hocking it and mac and cheese in it and sweet potato pie and an upside down cake and 7-Up cake and red velvet and Krispy Kreme donut, daylight donuts. Look at y'all. Look, y'all ain't said that much all service. I just start mentioning stuff and your spirit just starts. But the American Heart Association found that people were more likely to experience cardiovascular disease if they lived in neighborhoods with limited access to healthy foods, spaces to be physically active, or healthcare facilities. And I know a lot of the problems that we face in today are systemic, but this one is not the man, it's your meal. Nobody said it to me. Some of y'all are hearing the message I'm preaching right now and you're planning to tear down your temple after this fast in a way that is epic. You've been planning this meal for 21 days. As soon as we went on the fast, she was like, when I break this fast, I'm gonna tear the club up. Like, but what if part of God's picking process has to do with your heart being right and your heart rate? Okay. God's looking at David. I just want you to go with me. He's looking at David and he was like, David doesn't just have to be spiritually ready to face Goliath. He has to be physically ready to face Goliath. Now, I know we've never thought about it like this because most pastors stay out of your personal business. But David had to walk from the palace back to Jesse's house all the time. He had to literally, just think about it with me. Y'all remember when we talk about, and David faced the bear and David faced the lion. Have you ever fought a bear? No, we say it so casually. Yeah, he was just fighting a lion. No, that's not regular. Do you know what type of strength and endurance and intentionality you have to have to actually spar and it be practice with a bear? And if the bear wasn't good enough, then you do it with the lion too. And we call that preparation for a giant. Okay. Y'all, a lot of people talking about God knows my heart. We're not called to reach God. He's already reached us. We're called to reach people. And most of us are not fit to actually do what God's asked us to do. When it comes to your health, this is a question I had to ask myself 3 years ago. Do people have a reason to follow me? When it comes to your health, could we copy and paste how you take care of yourself? And would you want to place that on the people you love? Eat what I eat, work out how I work out. What would the people, what would your children look like? What would my children look like if they copied my habits? See, every area of my life needs to be something worth following. As a believer, when it says, follow me as I follow, in your health, are you worth following? I didn't say in your prayer, because I know you could pray. I didn't say in your worship leading, because I know you can lead worship. But in your health, are you worth following? I started this journey over 3 years ago, and it was the most embarrassing, humbling thing I've ever done. I will post videos this week of me telling my trainer, I cannot run. Cannot. The only thing that motivates me is competition. So we cannot just go running. We can't just go jump rope. We can't just lift weights. I gotta trick my mind. So can we play basketball? And I just need to start moving this jelly. Oh, it was blugula, blugula. You know when you go this way, but you're just, I was like, this, it was doing something different. I go, it went back. I was like, what is happening? Okay, some of y'all don't have these problems, but I'm talking real problems. And for 30 minutes, I paid him to come play basketball with me. I'm a grown man with kids and a job. I should be able to do this. Like, you should be able to do this. I couldn't. I believed so many lies about where I was that I needed somebody to come play a game with me to make me accountable to start doing something. What I'm telling you is it does not matter where you start. Okay. Because I know there's some people here that are saying, Pastor Mike, that's just too much. I'm 68 years old. You want 5 more years? Or 15 more years? Do you want to live to see what you've been praying for? Do you want to see your grandkids be able to do the things that you never were able to do, but because of your faithfulness, you planted the seeds into them, and now they can walk into a space and a place that you were never able to, but it is retribution because you see them do it? Or are they talking to your tombstone? Nana, I did it. I graduated. Because you wouldn't go walk. See, when I started this fitness journey, the Holy Spirit told me to shut up. He said, this is an area you cannot encourage anybody in because you have not been consistent. And me, I like sharing stuff. If I'm just 2 steps ahead, I'm be like, y'all, come on. That's how I've always lived. And the Holy Spirit, not in this area. He said, I need the work to go deep. And I need it to be forever. Because when I allow you to share it, it's going to transform the world. And I said, God, why are you putting all of this on me? He said, because I've tried to do it with several people. And nobody would answer the call publicly. Wow. And when I started working out, people around me started working out. Yeah. Pastor Charles is 145 pounds soaking wet. Any day he got abs, like every day. It's just because he's skinny. Nobody cares. I'm just funny. He's like, don't play me, boy, stop. But any day, ever since I've known him. But when I started working out, Charles said, I need to start working. My leader is starting to work out for his health. I don't have what he has, but I need to be healthy for all these kids that me and Abby is having. And he started working out. Another person in here a year ago, Brother Will Heckenbach. Now, some of y'all don't know, but when I met Will, Will was going through a transition. He had been in prison. He tells his story. God drastically changed his life. He starts serving, and God brings him here, and he does the internship, and he just keeps going to level to level. But as he was going up, 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 he was going up, up, up in his weight too. And I was watching him. I was talking to him. Will, you good? He's like, yeah, I'm great. But he got up to 350 pounds. Put him on the screen. This is my dog, full of the Spirit. You gonna show his belly hair like that? Yes. Because I want you to see the real testimony. When I started working out, it was a year and a half ago. And this is what I wish I could do with everybody, but Will has shown me that he can take actual leadership. And so the Bible says it like this, better a cut from a friend than kisses from an enemy. I came to Will and I said, hey, bro, you got to get your health in order. And he said, I received that, Pastor. I've been trying. I said, I'm going to pay for your first month of training. And he was like, Pastor. And I looked him in his face. I said, I have 4 kids. Do not waste my money. Am I telling you that? I said, do not waste my money. That's all he needed. Will, come here. Keep the screen up. £140 down. Oh, y'all can celebrate with us. Come on. So proud of you, bro. Now, only bad thing about this, my man be in my closet now. Get out of here. Shout out to my man Trevor that helped him and Tanner at Tulsa training. They really focused in on him. Like, Pastor Mike, why are you shouting out training facilities? Because that might be your answered prayer. Do you see what Will's testimony just did? No. Will didn't say a word. Church people talk so much because your fruit is not evident. People, write this down. We almost done. I know everybody's like, when is this going to be over? I'm talking to you with a passionate heart today because I was right where you were at. People should be able to look at every area of your life and see God. And I want you to hear me say this, and I've been saying this. I think this subconsciously was a phrase that came out of my own insecurities that God purified and used. But when I was in the place where I couldn't even see myself healthy, the Holy Spirit just said, progression, not perfection. Just progress. Take a step. Do something you wasn't doing yesterday. Progression, not perfection. And I just want to let everybody know who's struggling right now. We are not on this journey of health for acceptance. We are on this journey from acceptance. Jesus has already accepted you. He just wants to use you in such a way that it means we got to change the way we live. Okay? So don't wait till it's perfect. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper. It's a what? It's worship. Now, I need everybody to hear me say this. Worship is not the songs we sing. It's the way we live. And I want you to see how many times you comes up in this. Therefore, I urge you. Nobody can do this for you. In view of all that God's done for you, his mercy, to offer your body. That means nobody else can offer this. This is your offer. God, at the beginning of 2024, I am offering my body as a living sacrifice. Now, I would be cool with this if it just said as a sacrifice. Because a sacrifice is one time. Think about it. I'm going to the altar. I'm sacrificing this one time. But why did you add the darn word living? Because that means it don't fully die. So I got to keep offering it as a sacrifice every day. So I want you to offer your body as a living sacrifice every single day, holy and acceptable. And then he says this, that's just reasonable. Great. What? This is like the least of what you could be doing in view of what God has done for you. Great. Keep your house clean. Keep your temple tamed. Lord, this is hard. Well, this is the thing I want you to hear me. God will never ask you to do something he hasn't equipped you to do. Romans 12:1-2, I'm going to run through these. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Well, just love your body. No, we're going to love our body and we're going to progress too. You can do both. You can be right here and love it. And you can say, but this is not where I want to stay. It says, don't copy the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to submit to you. Watch this. Your body is borrowed. Some of y'all still tight, but it's right. You have a borrowed body. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know? I love how this starts, because it just assumes that we're ignorant to it. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You're borrowed. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your... Now, I heard this as a youth for everybody trying to not burn with lustful desires. But we keep talking about purity, but this actually is a self-discipline scripture. How do you treat something that's borrowed? If somebody let you borrow their luxury car, how would you treat it? You usually treat it, watch this, better than you treat your own stuff. Water bottles in your car. Chick-fil-A wrappers in your car. Come on, y'all, let's be honest. Dirty clothes, I gotta go to the gym. Okay, I'll get them. Every time you walk in that car, you're like, oh my God, what is that smell? Oh, that's me. But in somebody else's car? If this ain't your temple, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. How are you treating it? Y'all remember last week I told y'all that we had three settings we needed to be in: a setting of faith, a setting of friends, and a setting of spiritual formation. I brought the setting of faith back up here because this is the house of God. So this is a temple, okay? I'm gonna move this out the way because we don't need these clothes no more. I need everybody to see this. Yeah. If this is the temple, the house of God, I'm just going to start acting how we be acting with our bodies in the house. My favorite is Chinese food and ketchup. Why are you so bothered? Who going to clean it? Yeah, this is just the house of God. It's just a house. Just a house. Just a house. Who cares? I lift my hands in the sanctuary. I lift my hands to give you the glory. I lift my hands to give praise, and we will praise you. Don't care so much. It's just a temple. Syrup all over the communion. Don't care so much. Over the Bible too. Y'all, stop acting like you care about this. Stop acting like this matters to you. On the picture, I need to do some artwork on the picture. See? Uh-oh, come on. Oh, come on. Oh. Ah. Ooh. When I got into the mess, it affected the way I walk outside of it. Is a Subway sandwich a foot long? Dang. I hope I didn't hit a band member. It's just a temple. Stop acting bothered. You don't care. You don't care. We don't care about this. Ooh. 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 What'd you say? We get it. No, you don't. It's been 40 years. It's been 50 years. It's been 15 years of not caring about our temple. Why do you care about these 8 chairs and these symbols of Christianity when it's not even the place where the Holy Spirit is dwelling? I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's still on me. There's a little bit on me, huh? I didn't even see it until I looked in the mirror. Ain't no napkins up here, but I love pizza and egg rolls. A couple sausages. Anybody love Ninja Turtles? Ninja Turtles made me think, have y'all ever found a Ninja Turtle pizza? Because I've never, like with the cheese. Somebody said, let me get a slice. You've had plenty. It's healthy. Why y'all keep saying, oh, y'all know what I'm about to do? Y'all, every time I do this, you act like it's a new revelation. Yet they told us we eat 3 meals a day. And every time we do this, nobody says nothing. We get it. Now I need 8 volunteers to come sit in this. Come on. Yeah, I need 8 volunteers. Come here, big dog. All right, I got 8. All right, y'all sit down. All right, y'all sit down. What's your name, bro?
Angel.
Yes, Pastor. Mo.
Sir.
What's your name? Hold on, just stay right here. What's your name?
Kendrick,
come on. Come on, sister. What's your name?
Kelsey.
So nice to meet you. Y'all come here. Come on, just stand right here. Y'all stand. What's your name?
Ariana,
and what's your name?
Brandy,
and what's your name?
Sheree,
and what's your name?
Dominique.
Everybody just stand so I can still see this. Okay, and now right there. That's it. It would be inhumane of me to make these people who actually got up and washed their face, brushed their teeth, and look cute to go sit in that mess. Yet every single day, we make the Holy Spirit inhabit a place that we do not care about making sure it's clean. The fact that these people even came up here is a testimony to how hard it would be, because I said, I need eight people to help me. Everybody was like, you thought you was getting something. And I said, I need you to come sit in this. And everybody was like, oh. Thank you for being the 8 out of millions who would be willing to be a living sacrifice. And here what I'm saying is they could be up here just because they want to be on TV, okay? So I don't know. But I just wanted to make a picture. There's a lot less people willing to sit in the mess. Yet the Holy Spirit sits with us every day. Thank you, guys. Will y'all give it up for them? I'm not going to make y'all sit in it. That woman said, thank you, Lord. Oh, my God, I just bought this sweater, and it's cute. We done. What I'm trying to say is God is always more concerned about your body than any building. If somebody did this to your church, if y'all saw somebody in the lobby doing this, y'all would physically fight them. Like, I already know y'all. But why would you be more concerned about trash they put in a building than the trash you put in your body? Wow. Do you know the one time God was really mad about how people were treating the temple? Y'all remember where he picked up the whip and started, squaw, squaw. Why did he do that? It's because people were doing things in the temple that weren't supposed to be there. This message is not about body image. It's about God's image. The scripture says you can't love your neighbor until you evaluate how you love yourself. And the truth of the matter is, some of us, if we take off our clothes and we are bare in front of the mirror, we do not like what we see. We are insecure, we don't, and then we project that on other people. And what I'm saying is, this is not something we need a miracle for. This is something we need to decide. If we're honest, some of us hate ourselves. And the crazy thing about it, we've been talking about damaged but not destroyed, but this is the thing I want everybody to know. What's not transformed, and now you're trying to make your kids not eat. Or you trying to give them what you didn't have. You can do both spectrums. And God's saying, could you please be an example? If nobody else follows you, could you live in a way that at least the ones I told you to train up in the way they should go could follow you? Last thing I want to say to you is, if you were going to embark on this journey of health, hear me when I say this. The biggest thing that hindered me is I wanted to transform my temple in 30 days. And it took 3 years. I need you to hear me say this. Today, where I am in my health, what I feel like I can do, I can run through troops and leap over walls now. Like, that's how I feel. I feel like I feel youthful. I feel younger. I feel ready to do whatever God's called me to do. But it didn't come in 30 days. It came out of consistency for 3 years. And this is what I want you to write down. It takes time to transform your temple. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest. Man, do y'all know that harvest is not a peaceful time? If anybody's ever had a crop and they have to pull it, harvest is stressful. Harvest is work. But God says, if you would train yourself in discipline, you would have a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. The real reason that I started working out, y'all, is because of a little boy that has my name. MJ. And my son, as most of you guys know, is special needs. He currently has autism, and we're believing God for a miracle in his life. But I don't deny facts to be able to live in the future. I apply my faith now so that the future can be different. And so one of the only ways that I could connect with my son is he loves playing Go Tickle. And it's where I chase him around and then I catch him and then I throw him up in the air and I tickle him. And MJ can do this for hours. No. This is not an exaggeration. It's when he'll look me in my eye. It's when I just see my son and he's having so much fun and he's laughing. And go tickle, daddy, go tickle. He uses his word. 1, 2, 3, go. Go tickle, go tickle. And MJ has been wanting to play go tickle for 6 years. And MJ would say, daddy, daddy, go tickle. And I would come home from work, come home from ministry, come home from, and he would go, I could go one or two times and I didn't have the energy. And I saw the disappointment on my son's face that he could not articulate with his words. That my daddy doesn't want to play go tickle with me. It's not that I didn't want to. I didn't have the heart for it. Because of what I was eating and because I wouldn't take time to do the things that were hard, I couldn't do the things that would make him happy. And he started wanting me to pick him up and he kept growing and I didn't have any muscle to do it. It went from like throwing him up in the air and then there was no air. It was like, oof. You know what I'm saying? Trying to give sound effects to act like we're like, no air. I made a decision that if the only way I could connect with my son is being physically strong enough to be able to play with him and throw him up in the air, Daddy was going to do the hard things to make him happy. And I couldn't think about him as 5 and 6. I had to think about him as 18. Yeah. See, people don't know, why are you going so hard? It's because I might be having to throw an 18-year-old. Yeah. I might have to wrestle a bear. But I promise you one thing, is that I'll have the heart to be able to do it. I know, depending on where you're at right now, this may be a tough pill to swallow, but I swallowed it and I'm swallowing it every day. I have not reached perfection, but I was released by God to share this message because I believe God wanted people to know that this takes faith too. Fitness is an act of faith. And I don't care where you are and what lie you've believed. I think that God has a huge plan for your life and you have to have fitness to actually finish the plan. 1 Corinthians 9:24, last scripture and we're out of here. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it. Somebody say, we do it. We do it. Say it with faith. We do it. To get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I will be fit for the finish. Will you stand all over this building, please? This is what I'm gonna pray for you, and then I'm gonna challenge you. The prayer is gonna be the genuine prayer that I had to pray. God, I thank you that you will give me the desire and the power to do what pleases you. This is scripture, and I prayed that every almost day. But then I'm going to challenge you. Don't leave yet. Hold on. Wait a minute. I know you're mad, but just hold on. And then I'm challenging us for a 28-day walking challenge. I didn't say lift, bench, press. I said, because we walk by, and we're going to walk by steps too. And I'm challenging everybody to at least, I don't care what fitness level you are on, I want you to do this on top of whatever you do. I want you to at least walk for 30 minutes every day for 28 days. Now listen. Some of you, this is gonna be easy for you, and then the Holy Spirit's gonna tell you to take it up to something else. For others, you already in something, and this is gonna take discipline to just submit and listen. I'll do push-ups, I'll do this, and you don't listen. You do everything everybody tells you not to do, but just slow down for a season. And listen, but we're gonna walk as a church, and I believe that one day this church will own a gym. Amen. It will become, I'm prophesying to us, it will become a central hub of outreach and inreach. Imagine a place where you can come every day. You come to the gym when you're actually serious about it more than you go to a church. And imagine the music and the atmosphere being charged with faith. Imagine you walking in and people are greeting you with love. Imagine you seeing a glass room with people meeting in small groups all over. Imagine your kids over there having volleyball practice and basketball practice and 3 or 4 nights a week. I'm just painting a picture and they're recording it because it's gonna happen. Somebody say, it's gonna happen. Imagine you inviting your friends to it and it being a place where they meet people that believe like you before they ever have to come into this arena. Imagine, along with thousands saved in our year-end metrics, we have pounds lost. What is that doing, Pastor Mike? It's adding years onto our life so that we can go into all the world and make what? Which means a disciplined one. Hands lifted. Father, I thank you for our church, for my family, for people that are just like me, who, Father, you've done a lot of miracles in different areas of my life, but health was a hurdle that I needed your help in. And God, I'm asking you, Father, that people would not hear any venom in this message, that they would see that they're actually valued. Yes, Father, show them how you showed me that this was a conversation of love. Yes. That really said you had so much more in me than I thought I had in myself. God, I thank you that you would give us both the desire and the power to do what pleases you, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I come against doubt, confusion, past patterns, and even the fear of failure. And I thank you, Father God, by this time next year, everybody under the sound of my voice and everybody they send this to will have a testimony of progression. Not to be compared with anybody, but to give you glory. Father God, we will be fit to finish the purpose you have called us to. And Father, you've placed us in a house called transformation. Let us live that out with another level of decisiveness. God, we want to honor you with our bodies because it's our reasonable worship. Now, whatever the next step is, God, you can tell us and you can show us, and we will be careful to obey. In Jesus' name, somebody say, we agree.
We agree.
We accept.
We accept.
We expect.
We expect.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, real quick. I believe in you. No, look at me. I believe in you. And this next step is gonna be more spiritual than you've ever imagined, because the Holy Spirit's gonna help you every single day. If you believe it, let's give God one shout of praise in this place. Oh, come on. Come on, for where we're going, y'all. We are gonna be fit to finish. Listen. Next week, we are celebrating 50 years of Bishop and Pastor Debbie, 25 years of our church. And listen, I'm releasing the word of the year. Okay? I couldn't do it until I taught this message. I need you to send this to 50 people, and I need you to bring 50 next week. We're going to turn up and have a party. Listen to me. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your opportunity. I know there are people moving because they're so excited to get to the parking lot, but for you, the Holy Spirit has been knocking on your heart this whole message. And today is the day of salvation. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right now, I want to give you the opportunity to make the greatest decision of your life. Don't do this life without him. It took me from being a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was addicted to pornography, and I was carrying around a bunch of weight. Not just physical, but spiritual too. And the Holy Spirit said, give me your heart and I'll help you change your habits. If that's you in this room, on the count of three, and if you're watching online or watching on rebroadcast, I want you to lift your hands and we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And I'm telling you, your whole life is going to turn around. One, you're making the greatest decision ever. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, shoot your hand up all over this building. I see you right there. All online, I see you. I see you, a whole family right there. Come on, Transformation Church. I see you, my brother. I see you, my brother. Come on, Transformation Church. Let's celebrate. Glory to God. I see you, but more than that, sister, God sees you. And at Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. Can we lift our hands one last time and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I admit that I have messed up and I need a Savior. I repent and I turn to you. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate every... Oh, y'all. Y'all better turn up in this place. Glory to God. Transformation. Hey, listen. If you made that decision, hit the QR code on the screen. And we're going to give you some things to help you walk this out. If y'all need prayer for anything, man, I want to let you know, don't leave this church without getting prayer. The altar workers are going to come up to the front. People are going to start talking and leaving. But God wants to meet with you. If you want to come back to Monday night prayer tomorrow, we're going to be here praying. I just want to let you know this 21 days is over, but our spiritual connection is just getting started. I love you. I believe in you. Don't leave here without prayer. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life. I love you. Sing Yahweh one time. Say, yeah.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Our vision is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282 or visit us on our website. Also, be sure to like, subscribe, and check out our other sermons as well. Our service begins every Sunday at 10:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now go out and live a transformed life.